You're seeing less outbound because it's noisy and annoying, and more of like, hey, a push to come inbound to do a lot of these self-service motions. So you're seeing an emergence of these like self-serve portals or these self-service experiences, which to me are super, super cool, as well as when you can integrate the AI and the bots.
And once again, welcome to the Digital Customer Success Podcast with me, Alex Turkovich. So glad you could join us here today and every week as I seek out and interview leaders and practitioners who are innovating and building great scaled CS programs. My goal is to share what I've learned and to bring you along with me for the ride so that you get the insights that you need to build and evolve your own digital CS program. If you'd like more info, want to get in touch, or sign up for the latest updates, go to digitalcustomersuccess.com. For now, let's get started. Greetings and welcome to the Digital Customer Success Podcast. It is episode 49. So great to have you back as usual. 49, close to 50. Yeah, it's one less than 50. Jeez. Just real quick before we get started, a reminder, I do send out a weekly newsletter along with the episode that includes the, you know, not only the show notes and info about the upcoming episode, but I also write quite a bit about digital in there. Most recently, I wrote about how digital customer success people have the mindset of MacGyver, which totally dates me, but I don't know, we do a whole lot with, you know, what we have around us, the duct tape and the bobby pins. And you know, in the case of digital, it's the tools that we have around us, and we're scrappy like that. So go check that out. Subscribe at digitalcustomersuccess.com. Today, I'm joined by Carrie Ardalan of Qualtrics. She is a staple in not only CS, but digital CS, because she's been doing scaled for a long time. And has her finger firmly on the pulse of this whole digital revolution, scaled revolution in customer success, and is doing it extremely successfully at Qualtrics. She's pretty much, I think, the number one reference that Gainsight always throws out when they're asked, you know, who's doing digital real well. Pretty much everybody I've talked to Gainsight says, hey, go check out Qualtrics. Anyway, in this episode, we dig into, obviously, you know, things about her background and, you know, what she's doing at Qualtrics. One of the hot takes that she had is the fact that digital and scaled is transitioning a little bit more from an outbound type environment to being much more inbound and really focused on self-serve. So that was great. You know, we talk about balancing strategic and tactical. So a lot of great content in this episode with Carrie Ardalan of Qualtrics. I hope you enjoy it because I sure did. It's been a little while since we first started talking about this, and I'm glad we made it happen, and I'm glad you joined. You know, I mean, one thing that is the obligatory podcast thing is to just kind of say, hey, who are you? What do you do? And all of that kind of stuff. And it'd be great to kind of get a little bit of background. The one thing I will say is you're one of those few people in the world that has been doing CS since it was called account management.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly. Yes. Even before it was a thing, to be honest. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So what's that journey been like for you?
So it's been interesting. I started, gosh, decades ago in sales right out of college. But I worked for a reseller for Adobe. And so it was kind of a mixture of sales and CS, but it was like your typical 50 cold calls a day, managing a lot of customers at scale. And then I moved over to a market research firm. And again, this was before CS was a thing. This was more member services. Mm-hmm. And that was my first foray into now what's called scaled success. So we had like, gosh, I think want to say 200, 300 accounts. It was in region. So we did meet them in person, but we were KPI'd on engagements. And that was like the first time that I was like,
interesting.
What if I met with 30 customers in one? And I started to like blow my engagements out of the water.
Yeah.
And my retention rates were really high. So it was, it's really cool that I started that so early in my career.
Does that mean you got paid really high too? Were you?
Yeah, I did really well there.
You blew it out of the water.
Yeah. But I moved to enterprise CS, which that was like your typical path. Especially being in Washington, DC, I did a lot of public sector and regulated industry accounts. And started moving up into management there. I managed the whole East Coast. And at that time, scale came back into my life because Box at the time said, hey, we can't keep throwing headcount at these things. And so I raised my hand to build out their scaled success team.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like my earlier career coming back, which was awesome. And then I now work at Qualtrics managing really a lot of post-sale services. So I have community, we run a self-serve portal, I run events, we have lifecycle design team, and then I also have a frontline scale success team.
Dang, you got your hands full.
Yeah, it's a lot, but it's good because I get to kind of control everything, which is nice.
Yeah. And you've probably built a lovely team around you that you know, can specialize,
I wouldn't even be able to do anything without them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Love it. That's cool. Awesome. Well, I mean, what better person to ask the standard question that I ask all of my guests, which is to say, like, what is your elevator pitch of digital CS? Because you could argue you've been doing this stuff for a long time.
A long time, yeah. So to me, digital customer success is more of like a strategy, right, designed to deliver exceptional digital experiences, but at scale. And managing customers at scale. One of my most recent LinkedIn posts was 77% of businesses have a demand for digital. 57% of users actually prefer digital experiences over human ones.
Yeah.
I am one of those people.
Same.
And then on top of that, 69% will ditch you if it's a poor experience. And so for me, it's really around driving scalable adoption, retention and growth, providing that personalized experience across multiple channels. Mm-hmm. I think nowadays it's really a mixture of like those outbound comms that we've always seen, like email. And then there's been this transformation into inbound self-service, which has allowed for like generative AI coming, in-app guidance, communities, one-to-many programs, all those great things to help interact in serve your customers effortlessly, excuse me.
Yeah.
And so for me, the impact, of course, is like streamlining processes, reducing costs, increasing efficiencies, like we all like to tout about, but also really meeting those evolving expectations of our customers today.
For sure. I might have brought this up on a previous episode. I don't know if I have yet or not. So if you're listening and this is a repeat, deal with it. I had a really amazing digital experience not long ago that just blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And what you said kind of reminded me of it, but it was in B2C. So why am I forgetting the name? They make storm doors. Larson?
Uh-huh.
Maybe Larson storm doors. I needed to replace a thing on my storm door, and you can't like go on the internet or on Amazon and buy this thing. And so I engaged the chatbot on their website, and it was like, okay, you know, the chatbot said, okay, go to your storm door and take a picture of this barcode on your door. I was like, okay, this. And then it's like, okay, what part do you need? And I typed in roughly what I needed. And I was like, okay, you need exactly this part. You bought your storm door within the last 5 years or something like that. And somehow I've never registered the thing. Somehow it knew that I bought it at Lowe's within the last few years.
Wow.
And it says, because of that, your thing is still in warranty, so we're going to ship it to you for free. What's your mailing address? And this was all a bot doing this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so I was kind of blown away because working in digital, I'm like, I love a good digital experience. But then what I really loved about it is they've then taken this digital experience and combined the human element on the back end, because the next day I got a phone call from a real live person who was like, hey, you know, I just want to let you know that part's been shipped today. How's your door been? Like, is there anything else that you need? And I'm just like, I was absolutely blown away, because I think that's, to me, I've kind of seen what a lot of people strive for in digital motions that doesn't really exist today, but I think should kind of be the norm and will hopefully be the norm going forward.
Yeah, I agree. That's essentially why they at Qualtrics, they set up my team like that, like everything to be digital first. And then you should have those proactive elements through a human. I actually talked to someone from Randstad yesterday, and they're building that in their bots as well. It's like while you're waiting for a human to join you, it like walks you through all the thing, all the documentation you need to provide. And so when they join, they're like, oh, hi, Carrie, how are you? We see this is your problem, and they have the answer. So
yeah,
I do see that like 10Xing very quickly over the next few years.
Yeah, exactly. It's fascinating. And I guess this leads to kind of one of my first questions that I had for you, which is really just to understand a little bit based on your experience, what was scale like when you first were in scale versus what it is now and what it's going to be?
Yeah. So for when we first started, it was like your traditional pooled account management, right? And a lot of it was email based. It was like, how many customers can we email in a day? And it was that strategy of like one to one, one to few, one to many. And it was always seen as lesser than, which kind of bothered me too. It's like, oh, scale does nothing. And you still hear that sometimes, but it's like, no, we actually do a lot, right? And you have to explain the model. So it's interesting. There's still sometimes a lack of understanding of what that model is, but it has changed so much since then. And I've kind of been riding that wave ever since I started, like several years ago. But now it's this emergence of like, outbound digital, right? It started, well, not now. Right after that, it was an emergence of outbound digital where it was like webinars and additional email campaigns and like all this data telemetry to send a personalized email. And now it is much more inbound. So because of all the email changes that have been happening with like Google and Yahoo, you're seeing less outbound because it's noisy and annoying and more of like, hey, a push to come inbound to do a lot of these self-service motions. So you're seeing an emergence of these like self-serve portals or these self-service experiences, which to me are super, super cool, as well as when you can integrate the AI and the bots. So a lot of these companies are starting to think about how do I create a LinkedIn or a Facebook that's like my all one-stop shop for every service you might need so that customers can help themselves.
That one place where you can, you can go versus, oh, here's the LMS and here's the community and here's the, you know, the docs and here's the.
And where it's going is we're starting to think about like, not only are we building out that self-serve portal, but then where is the human element in that, right? So we've started with like doing all of our intake there and it automates routing to like Gainsight or Salesforce, depending on the account team member that needs to take the action. But we've been talking to companies is, like, could we have a CSM interacting with the customer while they're in that self-serve portal? And I'll say we haven't nailed it yet, but that's something we would love to see in the future as well.
Yeah. And I would imagine part of the conversation there is that that has the potential to be super creepy, you know?
Right.
Like, hey, I'm watching you. This isn't the doc you want. You want this document.
That's true. But hopefully it's like the experience you just had with your store door, right? And we're reaching out at the appropriate time. Like if there was friction in that interaction.
Yeah, for sure. That's super cool. I love it. There was a question that I had in my brain on the heels of that, that I've completely forgotten. And I didn't even write it down. So that's how organized I am. But anyway, I'm sure we'll get to it. So I think you talked a little bit about the structure of the team, kind of, and your remit. Is that, does that encompass like the entire digital strategy at Qualtrics? Is there, are there other elements? Like how is it, you know, you're obviously very digital first, but like, what is the life cycle of digital look like?
Yeah. So there are separate teams, like marketing obviously owns the online sales motion and the digital engagements from a marketing and sales perspective. We try and align as much as possible. So if they enter in as a digital customer, how do we continue that experience all the way through renewal? That's been challenging, right? Because we're on different systems, different teams, different processes, but working to align that much, much more than we have in the past. And then obviously in product, the product team owns the PLG motion, but we meet a lot to say, okay, from a customer success view, these are the resources we think are important to increase maturity. And then we partner with product on what are like, what's the data telemetry or the trigger points we need to look out for as far as those in-product experiences.
Yeah, that's so
huge. Those apply to two I don't own, mm-hmm. but we heavily partner in those areas.
You have to. One of the things that ran across the other day, actually, you posted on LinkedIn about the qualities you look for in a leader, like in digital. And the list, I'll link the post in the show notes because it's fascinating, because the list is like spot on, and it's like, but it's extensive. It's like, holy cow. Like, where do you find these people now? Like, you know, seriously. But I think one of the points you just made reminded me of that, because so much of what we do in digital is that collaborative kind of handshake internally with other organizations, because you've got the sales handoff situation, then you've got support happening in the background as well. And then you've got, you know, your renewals team, and then you've got product inputs and, you know, ops teams and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I guess my point is that, you know, that collaborative element is so tricky, but so vital to a digital program.
Yeah. And it's probably the most important characteristic, and that in a diverse background, I think too. Mm. Like, you can't just have someone come from marketing or just from customer success. Like, I think one thing I prioritized throughout my career was, definitely differentiation, right? Like, experiencing all different areas. And so I've been in ops, I've been enterprise, I've been scale.
Yeah.
I've been in sales, I've been in support. So knowing all those different things has really helped me in my career better understand the business needs of those partners.
Totally. Somebody asked me recently, you know, kind of what my view on support is in relation to digital. And my answer was, like, I love going and just bunking with support. Because that's where you learn what the heartbeat is, what the pulse is of the customer, like what the problems are, you know, what's working, what's not working. I love sitting in the support org and just listening. Mm-hmm. It's so cool.
Yeah, agreed. And that's one thing. We did take ownership of support deflection metrics, cool. And that brought us a lot closer, because they're able now to focus on their frontline teams engaging with customers, where we take on, like, what is the content we need in the support portal and how does the bot going to work, et cetera. And so it's kind of eased their concerns there, where that's my wheelhouse, right? Is automating manual processes and letting customers self-serve. So not having that be siloed has been helpful as well.
You reminded me of what my question was in your support kind of ticket deflection thing, because that's such a cool metric to measure kind of, like, you know, what's happening kind of between renewals, so to speak. You know, it's like, you know, how effective are you at engaging customers to where over time you see that reduction in support contact, which is cool. But are there other kind of metrics that you're tracking aside from, like, you know, NRR, GRR, all the usual suspects and things like that?
Yeah. So, because we also activate frontline teams, we've got, percent of CTAs launched, penetration rate of closed success CTAs. So, like, how many customers are we converting with our human teams, our scale frontline? And then from a digital perspective, because I own that self-service portal, we do measure monthly active customer and monthly active user. And then these goal completion paths. So if they came in there to onboard, what did they click on? Did they get through the onboarding materials, and have they hit exit criteria for onboarding without talking to the human? So those types of things, as far as the self-serve portal. And then we do own a ticket deflection metric. And then we also own a percent of renewals non-assisted by humans as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Non-assisted by humans. I like it.
I know. Yeah. Because you're seeing a lot of people these days not want to even talk to humans during that renewal experience. And so, again, especially if they come in through online sales, we want to make sure they can renew online as well.
Yeah. Don't Don't make them talk to a human if they don't want to. So kind of back on the, I guess the leadership front, one of the things that you and I talked about as part of, you know, our earlier discussions was that kind of balance point between being strategic and tactical, because if you sound like you're a lot like me, like you like to be in the weeds and you like to understand what's going on and you like to, you know, kind of the knowledge of the back end, but too much of that and you're getting sunken down into the quicksand and it's hard to kind of pull back and be strategic and be forward thinking in what it is you need to do with the team. What's your approach to that just in general?
Yeah, I would say I wasn't very good at it at the beginning. Like, I am like a roll your sleeves up, I'll do it type of person.
Yeah.
But it comes to the detriment of my team because I'm not empowering them to do it. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of zoomed out a bit more, right? And doing more of bringing my team along on the journey of like, what is the strategic aspect that we're trying to achieve? And then break that down into the tactical execution areas and delegate that. And then if it's missing the mark, sometimes I'll give them an example of like what I'm expecting, like, and that's through a template or a program guide, something like that. And then, but then they're able to go and do the rest of it themselves. And that allows me to kind of not disconnect, but just manage them and lead them. Right. And then work to manage up as far as what the outcomes are and the impact areas and what to present to executives.
Totally. I love nothing more than finding out somebody is particularly passionate about a specific thing or likes data or likes automation or likes emails, you know, or likes copywriting or something like that. And even though it's not necessarily part of their day gig, like, go do a project, do something, you know. I love that because it's like, I mean, as a leader, it kind of shows that, hey, you're actually listening and you're actually engaging with your employees, but it works to the overall benefit of the team when you have people doing stuff that they like doing.
Yeah. Qualtrics is very good at that. We have very cross-functional OKRs, and then we even run a regular hackathon where people can come up with different ideas for teams and we implement them. So
love that. Love hackathons. That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Are there like digital motions, getting more into the tactical, speaking of tactical, are there like digital motions that you are particularly fond of, proud of, or that you've seen in the wild, maybe that you haven't created, but that you've seen in the wild that are really cool and left an imprint?
Yeah. I mean, so I've been involved in several projects. So I'll name a few, but when I joined Qualtrics, this idea of that self-serve portal like unlocked a whole new door for me, I will say, and just the way to deliver different experiences. And then I think, again, powering that through AI has been massive as well. And just how you're able to deliver personalized experiences and at scale, and I'm not programming a million email journeys anymore. That to me was an unlock. Other companies and teams that I've been admiring, Autodesk has an incredible e-commerce motion that we've been studying and trying to build out ourselves. You just interviewed Dolores Cooper the other day with the short form video learning. Yep. Zendesk was the first time I saw that kind of TikTok style of enablement. Yeah. And the engagement they get on that is incredible.
It's insane. And it's so like scrappy and wonderful.
And then the CSMs do it. So they feel the impact as well. And it sometimes beats some of marketing's content. So that was good to learn when I was there. Workday was one I was a part of. It's more of a self-service of adoption value drivers. So what they were trying to build out where customers could choose some sort of value driver they were looking to achieve.
Okay.
And it spit out all of the features that they needed to adapt to do that if they weren't using them. I wasn't there to see the end of that and how that worked, but that's something I've always been very interested in and how to replicate.
I love that.
And then the last one is Salesforce has a customer-facing health score called Signals, which I like as well because it's very transparent. It allows the customer to kind of manage their own health and what's important to them. So That's another area we've been looking at as well.
Back on the AI front, what are you doing today from an AI perspective?
We started with the bot. So we launched intake through the hub, but now eventually all intake will go through that bot, right? Mm. And we are scanning support documentation, customer success documentation, thought leadership, the whole gamut. We have a ton of content. And so the idea is they would self-serve as much as they can, but if they cannot, it will route them to their sales rep, their customer success manager, or support. Mm-hmm. And so we're working more on that automated routing on the back end, but again, pushing them to self-serve first.
Yep.
And then the next area is this idea of a recommendation engine. So when you're in our portal, it will surface up like this training might be important to you, this event, this product release, et cetera. And again, like I said, trying to build out that like Facebook or LinkedIn feed where customers can come in and see all the relevant things to them. Mm-hmm. Other things are more internal, right? Like understanding customer health and their adoption of certain features. Mm-hmm. I actually talked to a gal from LinkedIn today, and they're doing a ton around clustering customers. Mm. And they're utilizing AI to see what different clusters and features they're using, and it's helped them enhance their email personalization a ton. So I always thought that was interesting too.
It's kind of like the advanced version of what you were talking about, where a customer identifies like what their goal is. Like,
yeah,
theoretically, you can use AI to really analyze customer usage across all their users and figure out, okay, yeah, this is what they're trying to do, so let's surface this kind of stuff.
What are the different cohorts of customers and or personas, and letting the data tell us who those people are? Mm-hmm. And so that's been interesting as well.
AI is starting to help us move away from rules-based automation. And especially like from a health scoring perspective and those kinds of things, like we all live in rules-based worlds. We've gotten very mm-hmm. good at writing these rules based on the data that we have and all that kind of stuff. And, I see more and more kind of platforms that are switching towards, just really intelligent ways of doing stuff without having to get into the weeds of the rules and just using plain English to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah, it's super
cool.
Yeah,
I like it.
For me anyway, I don't know if this is your experience, but when I've been, working on these digital motions and implementing things and trying to get programs off the line, for me, my experience has been like, look, we're going to do V1. It's going to be scrappy. It's going to be ugly. There's going to be some manual stuff that we have to do as part of it, but we're going to learn a ton. And then we're going to automate based off of that. And we're going to iterate based off of that. We're going to make some mistakes and we're going to learn from mm-hmm. that. And I'm curious if, I think we've all gone through that period, in implementing stuff where we've made these blunders and we've said, oh, that doesn't work, so let's pivot. Are there any kind of classic things that you've experienced along those lines where you've pivoted hard based on like initial assumptions being wrong or something?
Yeah. And that, like, you always enter the design phase, right? And you're like, this is how it should work. And it's so simple. Right. And then you go to the ops side of the house and it's like, oh, we can't segment customers like that. Or we don't know if a customer is a multi-year or an auto renewal. And so you then have to like regroup and say, how are we going to deliver this experience? Or do we ditch it until the company is at a certain level of maturity to then go be able to digitize that?
Yeah.
So we have a lot of things like built on the back end, ready to go. We're just waiting because operations prioritization is probably the hardest thing to deal with. And so getting those resources to help.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There have been times where I've inserted myself into various ops projects just because they are, it's like a massive dependency on doing mm-hmm. this one thing where it's just like, hey, let me help you drive your KPIs and drive this thing over the line, And I think there's a lot of instances where we have to go do that.
Yeah. I tend to be very nosy in their work. Cause a lot of times, even if they're launching a new process, right. Mm. Especially if it's customer facing, a lot of the times they're like, well, we'll get that information via email. And I'm like, but that's so manual. Like we could put it in the self-serve portal. So, they don't always love me when I interrupt and intervene in some of those processes, but we're good at partnering on the end result.
Yeah. I mean, it means you're doing your job, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than just idly standing by.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So funny. I mean, you know, it, one of the things that I think I've been battling with, is the fact that, look, Salesforce or HubSpot or whatever, any CRM is going to be extremely focused on the sales motion, and rightfully so. You know, it's kind of, you know, all the tools that are built around it are very sales focused and things like that. And then it gets to the post sale and you have this data set that is very focused on, you know, the sales process and whatnot. But then you realize post sale, you need all this other stuff that you could collect pre-sale. And so you know, my own experience is I'm constantly like chasing these things. Well, why didn't we collect this contact name pre-sale? Or, you know, why didn't we capture, you know, these goals and outcomes pre-sale? And can we have those flow over? And like those kinds of things. Does that ring true with you too? Like, do you battle that stuff all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. And the good news is we have a lot of cross-functional leadership meetings. And so that's the time where we surface like, hey, if we're not getting this data, then I have to go do all these manual things to get it. And it's impacting on customer experience. And so sales has been a good partner on like an opportunity can't close until certain fields are filled out. Mm-hmm. But you always have to balance that too with like the administrative, how people don't want people in sales doing administrative things, right? And so there's always a healthy balance there of what should they be entering versus not.
Totally. And not a lot of times when you force somebody to enter something to close a deal, they're going to just enter something.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's a lot of bad data out there. Mm-hmm. So that's been a challenge. I will say a lot of times too, where someone goes in with the intent to purchase something, that changes so much through the implementation. And then when they actually start using it. So I do think even having additional intervention points to get that data is important as well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of folks are starting to use in-product for those kinds of things, which I think is super powerful.
Yeah. Gainsight's a good one. Like the first time you log in, you say your role and your use case and those types of things. And so...
And it re-asks, actually. I was talking to Aaron Hatton, who's kind of behind that program a little bit. And he was like, yeah, you know, I think we collected an initial round, but then we realized we need to ask this again because people change roles and change. Yeah. So it's interesting because it's, you know, once you collect the data, the clock starts ticking on that data.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have... my profile in our customer hub, and we're looking at, do we get like a CDP on the back end to start to store some of that data? But we've talked about exactly that. Like, how often do you nudge them to fix that? Do you get something like a Zoom business info to help keep that data up to date as well and automate it? And so it depends how much funding you have to do all those things, but it's definitely something to pay attention to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. What any other kind of cool things that you're working on that you want to highlight or like, you know, your cool things your team is working on, kind of fun stuff that the audience might appreciate?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it we do so much across the whole gamut. It's always astonishing to me how much we release per quarter. I will say the bot right now is the most exciting. Like our unauthenticated is deflecting at like 70% at this point. And that was massive change management. Our customers at first were like, where did my support buttons go? Why do I have to talk to a bot? But we're starting to see greater adoption of that and them being like, oh, this is such a better experience because I'm able to get my answers and rather quickly. But yeah, I would say that's the top one. And then again, e-commerce, we are moving to a new architecture and figuring out how do we do that via self-serve as well has been a challenge. Cause we want to make sure that is an optimal experience for our customers too. And something that we're not forcing, but that they see the value in, but how do you do that without human intervention has been a challenge. So
the uptick on the bot is fascinating to me because to me, the fact that users are starting to get used to it means that it's actually doing what it's supposed to. And so I'm curious, what was your testing campaign around that? Did you roll it out to a small?
We launched it internally first on Gainsight. So we embedded the bot on Gainsight. So my frontline team were the first testers of it. And so, you know, customers asked questions on calls, they were able to search it, and then their email responses after meetings. And so that was the first launch. And then we launched it to our unauthenticated customers. So anyone on the support portal, but perhaps not logged in, can ask most basic questions. And then we just most recently launched the authenticated version, and we did it for the digital tier first. Mm-hmm. And then we're starting to slowly bring that up into different segments.
That's cool. Are the internal teams still using it?
Mm-hmm, they are. And then we've considered, you know, do we pump in ticket data in there and do automated responses based on that? We have to test out the accuracy and obviously work through some legal requirements before we do stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, look, I've really appreciated all the insight and like tactical kind of practical knowledge that you've brought to the convo. So that's super helpful, and I can't wait to share it with everybody. What's in your content diet? What do you pay attention to keep yourself up to speed?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one, your podcast, of course. You've had some great people come on. LinkedIn, I watch that feed a lot. If folks are sharing interesting things, I connect with them and we meet one-on-one. I had one this morning, which was great. And then I'm on Gainsight's digital advisory board, and a lot of different customers from Gainsight share their digital motions. And then ValueEyes is another partner of Gainsight. They have a really good digital maturity model and some thought leadership around digital as well.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen that maturity model. It's nicely detailed, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very detailed. Yeah.
It's very detailed. It's a little repetitive, I will say, but it's nice.
Detailed. I've been helping them on how it's just a digital maturity framework is so hard because you can start from really anywhere, right? Like, you don't have to start with email. That to me has been hard to translate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I've been working on kind of a similar thing, like a version of it, and I think the thing that I keep going back to is just the fact that, to your point, the variability that exists in anyone's digital program is just, I mean, it's infinite, right? So you can't plunk a model that worked one place down into another place. And so it's like, okay, because of that, like, how do you measure digital maturity that isn't like, okay, here's an email campaign or here's in app or here's whatever. It's like, it's a little, it's trickier.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've done it at 3 companies and it's looked very different at all 3. So absolutely. I'm in full agreement.
For sure. For sure. Do you want to give a shout out or kudos to anyone that's doing cool stuff in digital?
Yeah, of course. I mean, well, Dolores already gave one on LinkedIn, but she's an up-and-comer in digital. Austin Kwan is another one. He's over at LinkedIn. He used to be my manager over at Box, but we share what works. He does B2B as well as B2C, so it's interesting to hear from him how he approaches those two motions. Kelly Bray at MongoDB, she and I used to work together at Box, but she's kind of risen up through the scale and digital world as well. And then Rimple Patel, she's the chief customer officer at Eightfold. Yeah. But we used to work together at Workday, and she taught me the most around customer experience and digital. So
that's awesome.
Those are my mentors. Definitely go to for any help.
That's a strong set of mentors right there.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, engage with you, and interact with you, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, definitely on LinkedIn. People reach out all the time and ask to connect. I'm very open to that. I always love to hear what other folks are doing and offer my advice in any way I can.
Yeah, you're more than forthright with that stuff on LinkedIn, both publicly and, I'm sure, you know, privately. People hit you up in DMs all the time, I'm sure. So
yeah.
Cool. Thanks again for sharing your wealth and your experience with us. It's been awesome chatting with you, and I can't wait to share it out.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Digital Customer Success Podcast. If you like what we're doing, consider leaving us a review on your podcast platform of choice. It really helps us to grow and to provide value to a broader audience. You can view the Digital Customer Success Definition Word Map and get more details about the show at digitalcustomersuccess.com. My name is Alex Turkovich. Thanks again for joining, and we'll see you next time.